Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 15. I am with your host, Alex Beaverson. I am yours truly, Kyle Jones. Thank you so much for joining us, listening in, watching, wherever you are. Today, we're going to chat about frustration and how it sets apart the doers from the dreamers. We'll touch up on the state of golf in Arizona and what it's like to come into the last couple of weeks before overseed. And we will wrap up by touching in on the wonderful ladies of the Solheim Cup and Jon Rahm's Cash Money Weekend. AB, what's up? How are you?
It's a good day today. I mean, the weather is feeling nice. I played some golf this week. I enjoyed time with my family. Who came to visit. I've been practicing my putting at home on my perfect putting mat. There's all the updates that you got
Yeah, that's good stuff. No, you and I, we got out and we played with Pops.
We played with Pops. Playing golf with your dad's good. And, you know, my dad will listen to this podcast. He's a pretty good golfer.
I enjoyed the heck out of it, and a wonderful human being. And yes, he knows what he's doing when he's standing over a golf ball.
Yeah, so he taught me how to play some G, trying to teach my kids how to play some G once they start enjoying playing some golf. I got to work on that. You know, we're all on a journey of parenthood and getting our kids to like sports. So
yeah, I don't think I really cared about it until 12 or so.
Yeah,
and then, you know, competitively at 17 years old.
Totally.
So. Anything getting a club in a kid's hand, I think, is a big win. So, no, that was fantastic. You know, if my family's listening to this, I'll say I did get a thumbs down from my old man. So
it was a last minute ask.
So next time we'll do the father-son duo, and we'll have a blast. But no, we've faced quite a bit of different events, different resistance throughout the summer here at Superstition Springs.
We've
talked about some of those. Some of them have come by way of nature being unbelievably hot and dry.
Yep.
Emergencies with our the mainline water irrigation line breaking at our golf course. But something that you and I have been talking about this week in challenging ourselves to be better leaders, challenging ourselves to overcome our own emotions, to respond in the best way for our team, our facility, and for the people around us. And something that we talked about that I thought was really powerful and for me, really inspirational, was that frustration sets apart the doers from the dreamers. And you've heard a lot of me talk about it. I want to hear you talk about it. Tell me a little bit about what you think about that.
Well, it's an interesting idea because frustration is not a fun feeling that people want to feel. I mean, I'm an Enneagram 7. Alex Beaverson likes to have his head in the clouds and likes to see things in a positive light oftentimes, and it keeps me from facing confrontation. But the reality is that world changers are frustrated about a thing and they go out and they change that frustration. They find a solution. And frustration setting apart the doers and dreamers, it hits home on a practical level, being that we had a handful of frustrating things happening this summer. And we as golf course operators have to decide what to do with that frustration. Is it going to help us do something to fix it? Or are we going to simply think of a better world where that doesn't exist and then move about our day?
Yeah.
And the reality is that frustration will then be there again tomorrow. So, I think those are my quick thoughts, but it's a fascinating idea to be somebody who finds frustration as a catalyst for change, as opposed to finding frustration as something that ought to be avoided.
Yeah. The statement makes me think of one thing that maybe I didn't think of frustration in this light. Maybe frustration is a sign that things are going the way that you were planning they were going to go.
What do you mean?
Well, if you were planning on making all of these changes or seeing a world that didn't previously exist, there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some hardship, even if it's just the smallest of obstacles or things that need to change for this world or environment to exist.
Yeah.
wouldn't it then be that you are then in a successful situation when you are frustrated,
right,
because you are in this environment where things are changing around you, where you want so much more? So no, to me, it's almost like you're doing the right thing, mm-hmm, because anyone who has a vision and wants to do something that's worthwhile and actually shows up, it's difficult.
Yes.
It's difficult to do things that are worthwhile. It is easy and almost always will be easier to do the way that things that always have been done. Hmm. So we talk so much about vision and intention and trying to create this environment where life is happening at its best. And so many times we're trying to create things that don't previously exist. And when there are obstacles or speed bumps that get in our way, boy, it can come with a world of frustration and emotions that come along with that.
Yeah.
And I think that statement, frustration sets apart the doers from the dreamers, I think that statement really is a motivation piece to get past that frustration.
Hmm.
Remind yourself you are making a difference and or being the genesis of something that did not exist before.
Yeah.
We're talking about forging and creating. That's not easy, right?
No.
It's easy to show up and do the same thing every single day. So this little statement allowed me to take one step back and have conversations with the people on the team and say, look at what we are one. Look at what we're even trying to accomplish.
That's right.
We are taking big swings with big vision and big intention.
Mm-hmm.
So one, look at what we're trying to accomplish. And then two, look at what we have accomplished.
Yeah.
We put our eyes or our vision on being number one in certain categories. And we're there so many times when we make that decision. Hey, this is an area that we want to be number one in, or we want to really improve our current performance in. And we're able to do that.
That's right.
So for me, it's also about celebrating the success when it comes.
Yeah.
Right? Because when that thing has happened or the event has concluded, only then it has your vision really come to its full fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Right? While you're working, while you're facing all of this frustration, you still don't know exactly what that final picture is going to look like.
It's, yeah.
So once that final picture is up there, it's all about celebrating the heck out of that win.
Yeah.
So I think it's a long-winded answer of saying we take big swings and we build big goals, but once we get there, we really celebrate and we really embrace how dang good it feels to be there.
Yeah, it's sitting at your feet now for just over a year, learning about golf course operations and trying to learn. A lot of the questions I've been asking is, you know, you come in to work or we do a course tour or budget comes, we're not processing an invoice, it's getting coded to the wrong thing, whatever, causes frustration. And I've been asking the question, what is frustrating you and why are you frustrated about it from a leadership managerial perspective? This idea, this axiom is helping you process your frustration, mm-hmm, in real time, I'm sure. But how did you process a lot of your frustration with mainline breaking, some other woes with summer heat, as well as, you know, managing our course in the past 4 months with a lot of speed bumps? You know, this is normal stuff that every course, you know, every course has its ups and downs. And this was felt like some down seasons this summer, trying to get through the driest summer we've had. And how did you process these frustrations? Did it motivate you to make change, or did you feel like you were in a season of this frustration is overbearing type of idea?
That's a really good question. And even though you prepared me for this question, let me think on it for a second.
Yeah. Frustration for me. It's often, like I said beforehand, I would like to avoid frustration because life is easier skating through when things go well. But when things don't go well, it causes frustration. Hopefully that frustration can lead to doing.
Mm.
I preached a message once in my previous life, how unmet expectation leads to disappointment.
Mm.
Disappointment, if not dealt with, can lead to depression, which then can lead you into, you know, unimaginable places. it's in that frustration, that disappointment where you have to go, okay, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to make a change and do something to then, you know, to get us to the next phase?
Yeah. Whatever. No, what you just said actually inspired or helped me remember, I think it's something that's going to be a pretty good response. Something that I said in a one-on-one, for a coaching conversation for a area of this facility that I feel has consistently been falling short.
Sure.
With really no real obstacles stopping it from achieving full speed or what I would see as full success. What I said to the leader of this team was, there's only one thing that leads to disappointment, and it was the expectation that came before it. And as a leader, as someone who wants to be a part of the improvement, elevation, and education of all of the people around me, right? I want my time spent with the people around me to help them become better at anything, right? If it's golf, it's golf. If it's talking to people in difficult conversations, it's that. If it's showing patience during frustrating times, maybe it's that too. So the conversation that I had was about expectations and disappointment. And I think a lot of times in a partnership, expectations can be set maybe incorrectly, right? And so I started asking so many more questions, saying, if I am this leader, I am this coach that wants to be a part of getting you to the next level, I'm always going to see this person or see these individuals as the best possible version of themselves and really push them to get to that next level of performance. And I think that sometimes maybe it's putting that person too high. Instead of really asking all of the detailed questions to make sure that their department is successful, you know, maybe I've incorrectly set this expectation because I want the world for them. I've given them all of this support. So for me, I've actually flipped it around to the relationship and communication that I've had with these individuals and start talking to them, start talking to them and say, hey, this is the expectation that I have of your ability, of what you think the expectation is. Let's start talking about where the reality is and maybe how I've come to have these different expectations. Sure, maybe at the end of this, it's just performance that needs to be better, but maybe not, right? I've said before that the first place I always go to when I get frustration with performance, whether it's a department or with an individual, I go to myself. You know, what am I asking of these individuals? What am I saying of these individuals? And I think that was one way to really approach it was, okay, if I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed, it's because of the expectation that came before it. So let's talk about that expectation. And if I have this perception of your skills and abilities and your ability to adapt being a lot further than it is, then just tell me that you want me to slow down a little bit more and provide that support for you. So that's a little part of it. And I think at the same time, anytime we're dealing with frustration, talk to people about it. You know, talk to people about it. You and I have had plenty of conversations, whether it's just the two of us or including up to several other people on the team. Just talking about, you know, what all of us want for our guest and what all of us are doing to try and overcome the obstacles, right? Our goal is even if something is slowing us down, just try and get back to full speed as quickly as possible. So as long as we never stop, we'll always be moving in the right direction.
And a big part of this podcast and why we started was to talk about the between the swings moments of golf and life. And one way to deal with frustration in between the doing, because doing something about your frustration will create change and change the world, or change your at least your world. The next thing you can do is go play some G and go to Greyhawk, just like we did in the middle of a frustrating week. That was a good moment where we got to kind of say, hey, you know, take a breath. Let's play some G. Let's deal with our frustration out on the course and have some between the swings moments. That's exactly what we do.
It's funny how 18 holes of golf can come at exactly the right time to be so therapeutic. Yeah, 'cause I think the amount of patience that we displayed in all of our conversations after that day, where it was quite a bit more than before that. So it's get out and see that what you're doing is difficult. What you're doing is trying to make quite a bit of an impact. So if there's frustration along the way, make sure to spend time embracing the moments too, because that's so important.
It's so important. So we talked about the frustrating parts of summer, and one part being it was so dang hot for so long. We finally dipped. We're finally seeing the Arizona heat fall under 100. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. We are excited. How is this going to impact Arizona golf? I mean, we're in September. This happens every September, but from your point of view, our golf course overseeding, we're going to see some temperatures go down. What's changing?
Well, the last 2 weeks of September, we're going to see a heck of a lot more rounds of golf than the first 2 weeks.
Yep.
For two reasons. One, it's right now it's 11:23 and it's 84 degrees. 2 weeks ago, it probably would have been 104 by now.
Yeah.
So one, human beings can be outside a lot more comfortably now. But also, this is the time when many people in our area start to close for overseed. Many people do it between the 1st of September and 1st of November, right? We'll close down personally here on the 29th of September. We'll host our Superintendent Revenge Tournament on the 28th. And then we'll open up again on the 13th. So, with this decrease in temperature, it's actually really lined up well, because a lot of our comp set, or where our golfers also choose to play golf, some of those are choosing to close and start their overseed process now. So it's crazy how 1 week you might have 70 golfers on a given Tuesday, Wednesday. This week it could be 140 to 150.
Yeah,
so
baby.
It really is ramping up in volume quite quick.
Totally.
Oh yeah.
We're excited. Arizona Golf is excited. We're excited for people to come play golf. There was a golf tournament you'd mentioned, a girls' golf tournament that just happened.
The Solheim Cup.
The Solheim Cup.
Yeah. Solheim Cup.
Did you watch much of it?
I did. I watched it most afternoons. I was able to catch the rounds. We had an amazing looking team this year. They played so dang well. I think the most exciting or most exhilarating part was we had Nelly Korda and Charlie Hole going out first thing.
Let's go, baby.
On singles Sunday. So that was a blast to watch. And USA ended up taking it down. So, I grew up watching the Solheim Cup, year after year, at least every other year when it was hosted. Always a big fan of that event. It is the LPGA / European ladies version of the Ryder Cup.
The Ryder Cup.
So it's a massive team-inspired event. And honestly, I think these ladies, they show quite a bit more patriotism and pride than the guys do sometimes. So I would highly recommend watching how much enthusiasm and excitement they were playing golf with this weekend. Yeah. It was cool. A lot of fun. Cool. Congrats to those ladies, because they balled out.
Yeah, and then on the guys' side of things, PGA-wise, the FedEx tournament is the end of the season. Mm-hmm. This is a little break. There's obviously the President's Cup coming up.
Yeah, we call right now the FedEx Fall.
FedEx Fall.
So there are some players who are still playing in tournaments weekly or every other week, and you can earn points for next golf season, but they are not major prize winners as far as like the payouts. So I think we see many of the big names take breaks this time of the year. Yep. And just like you said, the big names that are on the President's Cup team, which is just like the Ryder Cup, but it's the United States against the rest of the world, not Europe, just
correct,
outside of Europe. So you'll see Australians and some Asian golfers and Canadians as well. So, we'll see people from all over the world. This is going to be an exciting event. They play on the years that the Ryder Cup event doesn't play. So that's coming up, another team event. But I'll still wager on what I said earlier. Watch these guys in a couple weeks and watch their pride and excitement and patriotism. And it's just a little subdued compared to the ladies. The ladies definitely have a blast.
Man, and Liv, you know, we're all still learning how to have a relationship with Liv. I think that's the best way to put it for me. I'm learning how to have a relationship with Liv. John Rahm just had a kid and he just won, but like is nowhere in the headlines like Scottie Scheffler, who also just had a kid. Mm-hmm. And obviously John Rahm, from the Liv side of things, had an absolutely killer year. He won some individual championships. He just won the individual title, which was ton of money, $22 million or something. He ended up winning
$22 million.
And you know, he like ended with this amazing, which we talked about in the last podcast, another amazing line of like, I can't wait to go be with my family and not think about golf for a little bit. And he had this between the swings moment, but it didn't hit the same as it did with, I mean, amazing line, right? Fantastic. But we're just learning how to have a relationship with Liv.
Yeah. So. No, I caught that same thing, right? He's asked, you know, how does it feel to win this $20+ million in one weekend of golf?
Totally.
Obviously, it's the accumulation of the season-long totals.
Yes.
But they ask him that, and he says, the one thing that's on my mind right now is I get to get into bed with my wife tonight. I get to take my kid to school in the morning.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, he has a third do any day.
That's
now.
What it is. He has a third kid
any day now. So I think he's going to be able to cover that hospital bill.
Yeah. I think
he's okay.
It was cool this year to see John Rahm go all the drama to Liv, and then he ended up winning Liv. That's a really cool like thing. This off season, I think Liv has the team championship this next weekend. Mm-hmm. I love the team idea. Have they figured it out correctly? My hot take is not quite yet. Maybe something will happen in the future where Liv and PJ or just Liv or whatever finds this really cool like team dynamic going on. I'm pretty excited to watch it. I'm not sure I'm cheering for anybody, but anyway, that season's still ending, and then we'll see who goes to Liv this next year. We'll see what pro decides sign their ink on that Liv line.
In order to stay relevant, I think they need to continue gaining people. I don't think it can stay with who it is. It's a great field of golfers. I'm not saying anything about that, but I just think in order to show that people are still interested and still willing to part ways with the PGA, then I think you'll see more people go. But
I don't know.
I'm intrigued. I think I'm hoping in the next 12 months we see some kind of an announcement between
the two
people playing golf, you know, sometime again soon. So I don't know. I think I'm becoming more of a fan of this like global golf tour where the best golfers in the world play on almost every continent, and you know what? It's up to you to pick and choose where you want to play, and that's okay.
I think I like that idea. I think I heard it on another podcast, but this idea of a team golf league as well, but you have a hometown and a home course would be cool to really capitalize on. Like, there's a course.
Maybe there's different rules if you're a home or you're a visitor.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Phoenix, like that. The Phoenix Lions, and you have a home course, you know, whatever, and you invite all the other golfers and teams to your home stadium. Phoenix rallies around our home golf team. We're the home crowd cheering on our team. Kind of like the Ryder Cup USA versus.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
If Liv could do that, hear me, Liv, make that happen, because I think that'd be better than just the cliques and the, you know, the crushers. But they don't have this identity of a hometown.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go.
All right. I like that.
So this is episode 15. We're still excited. Let's keep thank you for those of you that are part of our little community. We'll continue to grow this thing, continue to talk golf. And if you listen to our voices every week, thanks for doing it. We appreciate it.
Thanks for being a part of this community, and we can't wait to bring you more.